In the list, 24 hours of the year. I realize that this is time to take advantage of, because in a sense, right, you certainly have to work hard to make your whole year good, but there's also a sense in which you can use the last part of the year to make up, so to speak, for either the whole year. Like, person can come and show Hashem, you can catch yourself at these moments before the year finishes and you say, well, this is the kind of year I really wanted to have. And you do that from now till Rosh Hashanah, that has an effect. That has a big effect. So realize it doesn't all start tomorrow, it starts today. Last Rosh Hashanah ends today. Blessed Hashem tomorrow. Ooh. Then it all starts anew. Then everything is wide open. We can make it out for whatever we want. Blessed Hashem. Okay, let's begin. On Daf Chof Hei Omud Beis, five lines before it spreads at the bottom. Five lines before it spreads at the bottom. Towards the end of the line, you have Omar of Yosef. Let's just recap what we saw last time. If a person has a pot, a toilet of urine, of meraglaim, in his room, we had three opinions as to what needs to be done in order to say Kriya Shema. Tanakhama said you have to be 4 amos away, period. Doesn't matter if it's behind the bed, in front of the bed, whatever it is, 4 amos away. That's we have to be. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel said, if it's behind the bed, that's good enough, even if you're not 4 amos away. If it's in the front of the bed, on the same side as you, you have to be 4 amos away. And then we had Reb Shimon ben Elazar, who was the most machmir, and he said, it has to be out of the room completely, because the entire room, as big as it is all deemed 4 amos for halachic purposes, meaning wherever you are in the room, you're considered to be in the immediate vicinity of anything else in the room. So therefore, it has to be completely out of the room. Lemaisa, the poskim say that we do not accept the opinion of Reb Shimon ben Elazar, that we don't accept, meaning we boil it down to the more lenient opinions. And it's a machlokes. Lemaisa, the bottom line is that we follow the lenient opinion of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. This is not all that relevant. This is not all that relevant because in our times, but it could be. It could be when you're in different hospital situations or things like that. This is something that could be relevant. So lemaisa, yes, we pass him that if it's on the other side of the bed constitutes a separation, mechitza, if we'll call it that, then you can say Kriya Shema immediately on the other side of the bed. If it's together with you in the room, you have to be 4 amos away. Now, we always have the underlying qualification that if you smell it, nothing helps. You smell it, nothing helps. Any discussion about distance, etc., is only if you don't smell it. Okay. Now, Omar of Yosef. Now, we'll note another thing. This was mentioned kind of as a side point, but that's what we focus on now. That if it's under the bed, it's considered as though it's covered. It's under the bed, it's considered as though it's covered. And that's what we're going to focus on now. I mean, that basically all opinions agree to. If it's under the bed, it's covered. If it's covered, it's okay. And that's what we're going to focus on now. Omar Rav Yosef.
Does it matter how high the bed is? Oh. Because they're very low.
That's what's coming up. Oh, that's what we're going to address now. What is under the bed? Under the bed is as though it's covered. What does that mean? So Omar Rav Yosef. Ba'oi minei mi Rav Huna. I asked Rav Huna as follows. How low does the bed have to be? Meaning, the point is that it's as though it's buried under the bed. What happens if you have a huge bed, really, really, really tall bed, right? Then you can have a truck pass under and the urine is under the bed, right? Yeah, you can't see it. So, how low does it have to be in order to be considered that it's buried under the bed? So, Omar Rav Yosef, Ba'oi minei Rav Huna, I asked Rav Huna as follows. I mean, he organized a question. He asked an educated question. He asked as follows. Mita pachos mishlesha. If the bed is less than 3 tefachim high, pshitali de kalavudami, then there's nothing to talk about. It's certainly considered buried. That's the famous principle of lavud, which we've seen around Shas, that anything under 3 tefachim is not even considered, less than 3 tefachim is not even considered to be space. So it's as though the bed is completely smothering it. It's as though all the space between the bed and the floor is full.
Yeah, but one could argue that that's not pshita. Let's say by sukkah. So sukkah we use lavud all the time, but in terms of the din of tzilsim, ruvim, and hamasah, and staff, lavud wouldn't help. Meaning you had every 2-3 tefachim, you had a thing of staff, the sukkah wouldn't be kosher, because you still haven't satisfied tzilsim, ruvim, and hamasah. So it could be here too. But even though, in some respects, it's considered touching the ground, in terms of whether or not you can see it, if you see it, even if it's less than 3 tefachim above it, that still could be a problem.
Oh, so the truth is that you actually asked two questions now, not just one question. First of all, you're saying, lavud doesn't help everywhere. There are certain issues that depend on reality. Like, for example, by sukkah, it depends, is it sunny or is it shady, right? Now you could say, well, it's like it's shady because, yeah, but lamaisa, you're sweating away. So lamaisa doesn't help, right? So who said that here it goes by the theoretical abstract rules of what constitutes a wall, etc.? And number two, you're asking, what happens if you can actually see it? I would present this as a separate question. We've already seen earlier that even if it's in a different room, if you could see it, it's questionable if it helps. Okay.
The level of tent fucking comes into play.
Yeah, it's going to come in. Yeah. So, I'm not sure about the second question, and the first question kind of depends on it, but the way I understand it is that we do see when it comes to these halachas that it does go by the halachic principles of what's considered a wall, what's not considered a wall, etc. And therefore, for example, there are differences between whether, you know, it's if it's behind the mechitza, like we said, is the mechitza 10 tefachim high or is it not? We're going to see later when it comes to a bathroom. In those days, bathrooms were just open. We say, if there's a mechitza 10 tefachim high, even though it's all the way up, you're not allowed to daven opposite a bathroom, but once there's a mechitza 10 tefachim high, it might be permitted because it's already considered enclosed. So we do go with the principles of walls.
The hospital rooms where they have these curtains separating beds, that's like a proper wall. Halachically?
For these purposes, you mean? For these purposes. Oh, so 1 minute. Let me put that on hold for a minute.
Okay.
But as far as your second question goes, I don't know if you see it. Because we do see, I did not see this addressed explicitly, but the truth is, if you have it under the bed, even if it's considered completely buried, it's possible that if you see it, it's still a problem.
Like
because
smelling is still a problem.
And not the same necessarily. Smelling is an absolute problem. Seeing is a machloikis. Let's say you can see through a window. You're in a different, mamish in a different house, but you can see through the window, it's a machloikis. That machloikis would presumably be relevant here also. I hear that. Now you're asking, what about a curtain? You're asking, what about a curtain? So here, it would depend on the circumstances. If the urinal, or whatever it is, bedpan, right, if that would be relevant in the case of the hospital, is, an example that will come into play is, let's say it's covered with a plastic covering, such that you can see it. One minute. No, something similar, but not exactly that. A plastic covering will do. You know what? I'm going to have to put the question on hold. It comes into play. It's a bit complex. Bli nether. We'll address it again next year. Okay. But I'm going to put the question on hold. So now, if it's less than 3 tefachim, that will certainly do. You have Gemara's here, Mordechai. Arba, Chamisha, Shisha, Shiva, Shmoina, Tisha. Mahu. What if the bed is 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9 tefachim high? Is that considered to be covered? Omalei. And to that, Rav Huna replied, Lo Yedana. I don't know. Meaning this was talking an educated question. 3 is definitely okay. From 3 till 9, it's questionable. Is that considered covered or not? What about 10? So that will put the other questions in perspective. Asara vada loyni baili. But 10 is certainly no question. That's not called covered, huh?
Different level.
Ah, it's already a different level. As Abaye now explains, Omar Abaye, Abaya said, Shapir Abdisalay Bailach. You were right in not asking about 10 tefachim. The bed is 10 tefachim high. Kol asara reshusa achrisahi. 10, we always find that that's already high enough to constitute to constitute a separate reshus, and therefore it's not called covered. A ceiling of 10 areas is not called burying. It's not like the thing is covered. It's exposed underneath the ceiling, right? And therefore, like I say, for example, this is very relevant also in these halachas. You're not allowed to say Kriya Shema if you're naked, even if you can't see it. Like, let's say you're naked in a house, you stick your head out of the window. Okay? Stick your head out of the window and you close the window on your neck. Okay? Now you can't see your nakedness. Are you allowed to say Kriya Shema? The answer is no, because on Maisa you're naked.
Would you have the mikvah would help?
Because you're underwater. There you're not covered. There you're not naked. You're not exposed. You're covered. But when you're in a house, you're not covered. So, someone might ask, what's the difference if I am under a bed and have a blanket up to my neck, or if I'm wearing something much looser, a house? I also have myself covered up to my neck, right? And I have a house basically covering the rest of my body. Why isn't that called covered?
Heart is open to
the belt. Well, let's say I put on a belt. I have a belt, the only thing I'm wearing. Okay? So, the truth is, don't lift so hard. You see some, today with today's fashions, that's what some women call belt, wear belts and call it a skirt. So, it's not such a joke. So, what's that?
It's called high fashion.
Right, yeah. So, what's the answer? The answer is that no, when you're under a ceiling that's 10 tefachim high, that's called not covered. You're in a room. If it's lower than 10 tefachim,
it's a small room.
So that's the question here. Does it take being within 3 tefachim to be considered covered? That would be the question. What happens if you're in a canopy, in a bed with a canopy, or in a little tent, right? Does it take being less than 3 tefachim to be considered covered? What will be between 3 and 10? That's basically what the Gemara is asking here. If the bed is less than 3 tefachim high, the urine underneath is covered. If it's 10 tefachim high, it's definitely not covered. It's exposed under the roof. What happens if it's between 3 and 10? And that, Rav Huna said, I don't know. What's that? So again, it'll depend how much space there is between you and the sheet. If there's less than 3...
You're not lying in the bed.
What?
You've got a bed...
You mean that there's the urine underneath, and you put a sheet such that it drapes down over and covers it.
It's not tucked in.
Ah, okay, that will be fine. Yeah, that'll be fine, because then again, then it's covered. Yeah, yeah. That the truth is that would probably answer your question about the curtain as well. But I want to check it out again, because I did see curtains in a hospital discussed in contemporary Paiskim. I just don't remember precisely what they said. So I want to check it up again. Okay, so Omar Rava, so Rava says, Hilcha says, so yeah, the halacha is that for these purposes, what's called covered? Pachos mishloisha kelavudam. Less than 3 tefachim is considered connected, that's mamish covered. Asara rishusa achrisei. If it's 10 tefachim high, that mamish creates a domain, that's not called covered, it's exposed under a roof. Mishloisha ad asara, in between 3 and 10, that's the question that Rav Yosef asked Rav Huna, and Rav Huna didn't know the answer to. So therefore, Lamaisa were machmir not to consider it covered if it's under something that's between 3 and 10 tefachim high, or if it's under something that's more than 3 tefachim high, for all practical purposes. Okay. So now, Omar Rav. So again, this was really discussing a side parenthetical point in our Gemara. What does it take to render it covered? But now we get back to the Machloikis. Again, we had three opinions. Either you have to be 4 amos away, on the other side of the bed, or out of the room. What's the halacha? Omar Rav, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. The halacha follows Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, that it has to be completely out of the room. Anywhere in the room is called in the immediate vicinity. V'chein omar bali, And also Bali's said, Omar Rabbi Yochanan brought the Bashmuel, Omar Rabbi Yaakov brought the Bashmuel. He said in the name of Rabbi Yaakov, the grandson of Shmuel, Halacha ke Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. The Halacha follows Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. That, yes, the entire room is considered within four amas, the immediate vicinity, and therefore the urine would have to be out of the room. Rabbi Omar, ein Halacha ke Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi says, no, the Halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. As we discussed before, we don't follow this opinion. Rather, we follow the lenient opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, who says that it's sufficient to have it on the other side of the bed. If it's on your side of the bed, you just have to be four amas away. Okay, it's interesting to note, by the way, I'll just point this out in parentheses, even though it's not accepted la halacha, that there are some Rishonim who do follow the ruling that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, which means that we consider the whole room just four amas. Anything in the room is called within immediate vicinity. Here, this manifests as a chumrah, but there's a different interesting manifestation of this question, which comes out the other way around, the kula. Huh? And no, but wearing a yarmulke, I hear. I didn't see it mentioned there, but something similar. Negelwasser. Right? This is what you mentioned the other day. Negelwasser. You're not supposed to go four amas without washing the tilas yadayim. Now, if we follow the opinion that the whole room is considered four amas, then, yeah, it comes out that it can be anywhere, right? You're okay. You can.
Remember years ago, you were talking about that subject, and you say, it's something you can be minor on until in conjunction with guys, the cool, but everything gets a lot of cabin, it's fine. But I remember you said that you could, you know, keep it by the bed, you know, don't figure the whole room is all
about. Oh, so that's right. Right. So the Mishnah Berurah cites this. There are those who apply this opinion to that question. The Mishnah Berurah cites this and he says, but no, Lamaisa, we cannot rely on this, because Lamaisa, the general consensus of the Poskim is otherwise, which again in our sugi is a kula, right? You don't have to consider urine anywhere in the room as though it's within your four amas. But when it comes to Netilas Yadayim, like you just said, the other way around. You also cannot consider the whole room four amas, and therefore the Negelwasser should be within four literal amas. In other words, yeah, like we said, keep it by your bed. That's the ideal way to do it. The truth is that, I mean, it's not like really, it's like so much of a big difference anyways, because yeah, most people don't have a sink in their room anyways, right? Once you're going out of the room, you're not utilizing the shita anyways, right? So you anyways have to keep the Negelwasser in your room. So what's the question? You dafka want to keep it in the far corner of the room? Yeah, keep it near your bed.
Not even the bathroom in the room. Yeah.
No, so that won't do, because kol ha'bayis kar ba'amis tami means the room. The whole room is called four amas. Even if we're going to follow the shita that says the whole room is called four amas, yes, going into the bathroom.
Oh, once you can, that's already a different
room. It's already a different room. What's that? Bayis means cheder. That in the Gemara's terms, the whole room, the whole house was a room. So in these terms, bayis means a cheder. It means the four walls that you're within. Okay, so yes, this is interesting. What's that?
We all talk about having an attic.
Some had, some didn't. Now, it's not necessarily so that every house had. Bigger houses might have had it. But the typical house,
part of the house.
What's that? In this sense, no. We're talking about the room. In this sense, no. But anyways, again, we don't follow this opinion anyways. I just put this up as a point of interest. But the Mishnah Berurah says very clearly that Lamaisa, we do not follow this opinion, and therefore this whole discussion remains just as we described it, a point of interest, but not much more. Okay. Not. It's a lot more than that. It's Torah, right? It's the Shita of Rav Shimon ben Elazar. But for Halacha Lamaisa purposes, it's just a point of interest. Okay. Fine. Next subject. Rav Achoi Ya'asik Le'Librei Be'Rav Yitzchok Bar Shmuel Bar Marta. Rav Achoi made a shidduch for his son with the home of Rav Yitzchok Bar Shmuel Bar Marta. Tom Eroi made a shidduch between themselves. Aile Le'Chupa, he went into the Chupa, which means that he got married. V'Lo'yehava Mistaya Milsim, and it wasn't working out, meaning there was just something wrong. He was not managing to perform normal marital relations. It just wasn't working. So, Ozal Basrei Le'Iyunim. So he went to check out the situation. He went to investigate. Why isn't it working? Chaza sefer Torah demancha. He said there was a sefer Torah in the room. In the room that they designated for them. Maybe they got it as a chasana present. I don't know. So Omar Lahu, so he came out. He was very upset, disappointed with the mechutanim. He said, Iko, hashte loyasoi, if I wouldn't have come now, sakantum libri, you would have risked my son's life. His life was in danger here. He almost, to the mechutanim, to the ones who set up the chuppah. What?
Who said? The father or the son?
What's that? The father said. The father came, his son had just gotten married, and the bride's family had set up a young couple suite, right? That was how it worked. The chuppah was actually the suite that they lived in. And there was a sefer Torah there. So he came and he said, well, you put a bomb for my son here. If it would have worked, he would have been in big trouble. So
wouldn't he have been anonymous at that point?
So
I mean, how many people what's the odds that a sefer Torah would be?
No, I don't think that the pshat is it was hidden somewhere. Where can you hide a sefer Torah already? Right? You're talking about a small room. You put it under the carpet. Apparently the pshat is they weren't aware either of the halacha. I don't know. What's that? Maybe it was a small sefer, right? It's also possible. Oh, the truth is that it does make more sense. There must be some sort of pshat here how it was missed somehow, apparently. Okay, whatever it is.
Or maybe he held that the whole room's not Dalai Lama's, and therefore he was more than Dalai Lama's away.
Or maybe the other shita held that. That wouldn't help here, though, because it's an issue of being exposed in the presence of. And I'm not sure, not even if you're not exposed. Here, it's clearly the halacha. It doesn't help to be covered if there's a sefer Torah in the room, or even a sefer.
The bride's parents weren't so in favor of the
shuvah. What's that?
They wanted
to get rid of it that quickly. I hear. And they do their daughter. Get rid of the daughter too.
Maybe a certain number of coverings in the sefer Torah is enough to.
That is enough, but here it wasn't.
Why?
What? Why? That's what he wanted to know. He's coming and saying why. Yeah, it was basically sitting there. Apparently they thought it was good enough. Yeah, apparently they thought it was good enough. Or maybe they just forgot it there, I don't know. Whatever it is, he came and he told them, you almost killed my son. D'tanya, as it says in the Braisa, Bayis sheyesh bay sefer Torah tefillin, a house that has sefer Torah and tefillin. Here also we see that a house clearly means a room, right? If you're upstairs in the bedroom and there's a sefer Torah downstairs in the study, there's nothing to talk about. But a room that has sefer Torah tefillin, also the shamish by a samita, you're not allowed to have relations in that room until you either take it out or you have to have it, as we discussed before, in a double covering. So that's right. That's right.
That's
to have a sefer Torah there.
You can't have a house without a sefer Torah, right?
Right?
So, you cover it when you have to cover it.
I hear. Good. Right?
They saw that all the time.
That's right.
There was no honor on it, and you had the sefer Torah on the table, had to cover it up. Double wrap
for whatever might be going on, right? So it's just interesting to know, where did he come up with this, that you would have killed my son? Where did you get this from? You killed my son. He would have been over in Isser. But the truth is, if you remember, we mentioned earlier that the Gemara applies the pasuk. It says a person who doesn't treat Divrei Kedusha right, the pasuk that says, Kidva Hashem Baza, he put down the word of Hashem. And the continuation of that pasuk that the Gemara doesn't quote is, He karis tikaris hanefesh ahi. That soul will be cut off. And Rabbi Yehuda actually takes this quite literally and says that yes, disregarding the honor of Sifrei Kodesh and Divrei Kedusha actually carries karis. Very scary thing. It says it's a form of degrading Hashem. That's why we keep stressing here, that we're discussing here the halachas of Kvod Hashem. We're not talking about the halachas of Jisfar. Whatever the case is, so he's making that very clear here. So Amar Abaye, and this is really going to be a review of what we've seen earlier, basically. Amar Abaye, when we say that it has to be double wrapped, even double wrapped has qualifications. It can't be in a designated vessel. Meaning, let's say if a Torah naturally has a double wrapping, or it's filling, right? How it's filling, they automatically have a double wrapping. Triple wrapping, they're in a box, which is in the velvet bag, which is in the plastic bag, right? So that won't do. Klishu kelyan, it has to be in a vessel that's not designated for it. Aval b'klishu kelyan, if it's in a kli that's designated for this tefillin, afila sara mane kechad mane dami. Even if it's in 10 coverings, it's all just considered one. So yes, you take all the designated casings and you add to that one non-designated casing, shopping bag or something.
So if you had a Sefer Torah that had a regular cloth trap, you put it in an envelope, in that room you couldn't have parental relations.
Right.
But if you put a sheet over the room,
house.
Oh, one minute. If it's in an Arayin, you know, we're going to see soon that a Sefer Torah might be, it requires more than just a double wrapping. The double casing is talking about tefillin. And other such svarim. But with tefillin, yeah?
So you might have said there's like three separate wraps. So you can't have your tefillin bag in the room.
Unless you put another thing on top of it. After all the wraps, put a towel on and then you're okay. Right? So, now Omar Rava. Now Rava adds a point. He says, Glime akam tere keklibis ech klidam. If you spread a garment over a box that contains svarim, that's already called a double casing. I mean, the box is the designated casing, and you put a garment on top of it. Now, what's the chiddush? Right, this seems obvious. Why not? But the chiddush is, and this is also something we stressed in the past, and it's halacha l'maisa, that even though you might say, but 1 minute, you just put a covering on top of it, it's only covering the top, it's not wrapped all around it, maybe you should have it wrapped all around it, it should be double wrapped from all sides, that we say is not necessary. It has to be double covered, not necessarily double wrapped, meaning it's got to be in a casing, and that casing has to be covered. But even if it's just a towel covering it from the top, while on the bottom it's just on a bench or whatever it is, it's not double wrapped, that will do.
Well, what about the tefillin, for instance? There's a bag that it's in, which is its designated bag. And then there's the plastic bag that you carry around. That's also a designated
bag. That's right. That's why it's so not enough. You have to put it into another shopping bag or cover it with a towel or something like that. That's something in addition to all of its usual casings.
What about the visual issue?
What's that?
What about the visual issue? What if you can see it still?
Oh, so that the place can say that it has to, at the end of the day, you have to not see it. Meaning a transparent casing can count as one of the two casings as long as the other casing is not transparent.
Okay. If you have some piece of furniture in the bedroom, say drawers, you can't put some Divrei Torah, a sefer, in a drawer in whatever you got, high table.
That's right. So the simple answer to your question is that's right. It will have to be covered inside the drawer. However, we'll draw two qualifications. This is very halacha l'maaseh.
Covers the sefer.
Ah. So that was one thing I wanted to address. Mm-hmm. What were you going to say?
No, isn't the drawer itself is closed?
That's one covering. That's one covering.
That's the cover over the
designated. Oh, if it's tefillin. If you have tefillin in a drawer, you're okay. But let's say you just have a sefer. A sefer in a drawer. Right? So you might have to put another thing on top of the night table. What's that? It depends how big it is. There's a tzad, it depends how big it is. For practical purposes, lemaisa, the general consensus is that as long as you're not talking about a mechitza that's 10 tefachim high, we don't consider it a separate domain.
Meaning
a closet would not require any more coverings. We're going to get back to your question in a minute. But a closet, that's qualification number one. You can put svarim straight into the closet. A closet is 10 tefachim high. That's a mechitza. That's already considered in a different place. That's not a closet is not a covering. A closet is a wall. But now, your question. This is very negah, right? You keep Kriya Shema Alamita on your night table. Every relations. You just put it in the drawer. It doesn't need another covering. So Rav Naftali suggests that maybe the cover of the sefer is called the cover. Maybe the cover of the sefer is called one cover. That's questionable. That's questionable.
One designated cover is okay.
You're saying it doesn't cover the sides. But again, we're seeing that lamais and the sides don't have to be covered.
No, you only mentioned the bottom that's going to be covered.
No, the sides don't have to be covered. It has to be covered from on top.
You're always draping it with something and the sides are covered, but the underneath, the drape doesn't reach because...
What if does it have to be covered from the sides also? I don't know. I don't know. I hear. I don't know.
There's no writing. First of all, there's blank areas, margin here.
Well, but that's not called a covering. For example, I'll give you an example. You're not allowed to cut the margin of the sefer and use it for mundane writing. The margin of the sefer lemaisa is the kedusha of the sefer along with it. It's considered part of the sefer. So that won't help. That won't help. So Lamais and the place can discuss whether the cover of a sefer can be called a cover or not. And there is room to say that at least Bishas Hadchak, you can consider the cover of the sefer one cover and the drawer another cover. You have an interesting aura about the sides. I'm not sure, I have to check that out. But there is room to say that at least in pressing circumstances, maybe not even in such pressing circumstances, you can consider the cover of the sefer one cover and the drawer another cover. But there's also room to say that that's somewhat questionable. I mean, it's true that it's a combination of a few different factors. Say it might be a sex faker.
It's actually kind of, you have a blank piece of paper covering it with better, it's covered, right?
Right.
Like you have 100 sheets covering each other, and the cap one's covered by a book cover. Besides, I don't think
it's... Right, it's introductory page, that's the point, introductory page. I mean, this counts as cover too.
No, it's all part of the sefer. The sefer is the sefer. The sefer is an entity in itself. Once you have the sefer back,
the cover is not part of the sefer.
What's that?
But the cover is not part of the sefer.
The cover, maybe not. Maybe not. And the truth is, when you have the mamish blank pages on the top, I don't know.
I see another thing is a lot of drawers. I mean, I won't speak for myself. But a lot of night tables are filled with things on top of the night table. So it could be that
all together it's covered between the alarm clock and the skin cream and everything.
What percentage has to be covered?
It depends how particular your wife is about keeping it basically clear. What's that?
It's better just not to keep any books on the night table.
Yeah, we might say it's better, but again, I am stressing though that there's we can't say it's wrong if a person keeps Sfarim in a drawer on a night table. But we might say that it might be better not to.
I'm not trying to throw a monkey wrench into this, but somebody once mentioned that the form of today, the way they're printed, it's not the same as...
It's not the same, but that approach is not generally accepted as the halacha. I mean, the general consensus is that printed Sfarim have the kedusha of the kedusha for all practical purposes, although less than a handwritten sefer. And therefore, for example, this is a very interesting implication of this. The Chazon Ish says this. If you have a notebook in which you wrote down the kedusha, that has more kedusha than a printed sefer. And it might be better to keep the notebook on top of the sefer rather than the sefer on top of the notebook.
Wow.
Because handwritten has more kedusha. But yet, for the purposes of these halachas, the general consensus is that printing is the same thing. In fact, I'll prove it to you. In many shuls, in Eretz Yisrael, mahadir to read the Haftarah from klaf in many shuls. But it's worldwide, right? The practice is to read the Haftarah from a printed sefer. What's that based on? It's based on the understanding that printed sefarim mamish have a very high... almost have the full-fledged kedusha of Kisvei HaKodesh.
So this doesn't apply to a chumash? I mean, your notes go on top of a chumash?
A chumash, no, because a chumash is Teresh HaBik. Teresh HaBik Sav always goes on top of Teresh HaBalpeh.
The other thing is, when you're writing notes in a notebook, you don't write Hashem's name out. So wouldn't anything that's printed that has Hashem's name printed...
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
As long as it's not Torah Shebiksav, it doesn't necessarily... If you have two texts of Torah Shebaalpeh, one has Hashem's name in it and one doesn't, for purposes of putting one on top of the other, we wouldn't differentiate. It's all divrei Torah. The differentiations we draw in this respect is Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebaalpeh. Chumash should go on top of Navi. Navi should go on top of a Gemara, etc. But
where does Seder come into this?
The Siddur is general. The recommended approach is to consider the Siddur between Teresh HaMiksav and Teresh HaBalpeh, meaning A Chumash goes on top of a Siddur goes on top of a Gemara.
Chumash,
Navi, Siddur, Gemara, and any other Svar. Right. Well, because a big bulk of the Siddur's body is actually just direct Pesukim. What's that? Hashem's name is not the point. Hashem's name is not the point. You have Hashem's name in Gemara also, and you can have Hashem's name in all kinds of other Svar. Right? But the point is the Teresh of Ksav as opposed to the Teresh of Al-Peh.
What about this form that when they have Hashem's name, there's no vowels?
That doesn't matter. Sefer Torah doesn't have vowels either, right? Right. So the vowels are really just for convenience purposes and not for much more.
I mean, now we have a justification to cover our night tables. You want to keep your previous noise there, just tell your wife you gotta put things on the night
put
table.
A doily on or something. Okay.
A doily has holes.
Right, right.
Hierarchy
and Teresh Baal Peh. Some Poskim recommend treating Teresh Baal Peh with hierarchy also. Say Me'ikra Adin, no. Me'ikra Adin, you can keep a Sefer of an Achron on top of a Gemara. It might be a pious practice, it might be recommended, we might call it that, to be careful with Teresh Baal Peh also. The Stipler, for example, is Makbid. Not to keep Rishonim on top of Gemara, not to keep Achronim on top of Rishonim, and not to keep Achronim. Not to keep his sefer. He once saw that someone put his sefer on top of an Achiezer, which was written by Reb Chaim Isaac Grudzinski, who had died 50 years earlier, and he yelled. He said, "Chaim Grudzinski is an Achron. What are you putting it on top of my sefer for? What are you putting my sefer on top of his sefer for?" So you might call it a good thing to do, but it's not required. Make it. The main kpeda is the hierarchy of Chumash, Navi, Siddur, Gemara. Or any Teresh about that, yeah.
As far as the Siddur and the night table, it would be wise to put a Mishra on top of it?
Inside the drawer.
Yeah.
Yes, but if you don't, there's room not to also.
What about the Kesef itself? The part of the cover of the Sfar is not to put things on top of it.
But if you're doing it for the cover of the sefer, that's fine. Don't use something unrespectable. But when you're covering a sefer in order to be mechaber the sefer, that's fine. Right. Another example. Right. Or another example. The place can say if you're going to leave the room for a serious, you know, if you're leaving the room, you want to leave the sefer open. You want to keep your place. Don't just leave the sefer open on the table. Cover it with something. So that also we say you can cover it with anything you want. It shouldn't just not be. Don't use something disrespectful. Don't use underpants, a face. But when you're covering it for its purpose, that's fine. Okay. Omar Rav Yeshua ben Levi. What's that?
You're packing the suitcase. You want to put something on top of it in order to. Protected more?
If you're doing it in order to pad it and protect it, then there's nothing to talk about. That's definitely okay. The question begins with stam. It becomes complicated to sometimes when you're packing suitcases and things like that, stam becomes complicated to keep on top of it.
I do it, but the other thing is the suitcase, especially travel, ends up the other way around.
Right, you also never know how it's going to work. I've heard, I didn't actually personally research the subject, but when I asked about it, I was told that you don't have to kill yourself to be too makpeh in these sorts of situations. Okay. Omar Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Although I'll just note that Bishua Leib Diskin was moving at one time. He sent a lot of things with the movers, except two boxes. He insisted that the movers actually take in his presence. And he kept on insisting that this box should be on top of that box, not vice versa. And he insisted the whole time. He was walking with them and making sure. Why? Because the one box had his own writings, the other one had his father's writings. And he didn't want him to put his own writings on top of his father's writings. But again, that's Midas Chasidus. That's the piety of Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Sefer Torah. So we just mentioned before that you cannot have relations in a room that has tefillin or a Sefer Torah. And we said it has to have a double casing. Now the double casing we're going to see now is good for tefillin, but not for a Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah tzorich la'asli sloy mechitza asar. For a Sefer Torah, you have to actually have a mechitza of 10 tefachim. Marzutra ikla lebei Rav Ashi. Marzutra once went to the house of Rav Ashi. Chazya leduchtei demar bar Rav Ashi, and he saw that in the room of Mar bar Rav Ashi,
The monach may sefer Torah in his bedroom. He had a sefer Torah there, right? Like Rav Shlomo said, this was what you know what he learned in. And he made for it a mechitza 10 tefachim high. Now let's know. Up till now we were talking about homes that were consisted of one room, but this is clearly not the case here. We're talking about Mar Barav Ashi had a suite in his father's house. Right? So it obviously wasn't a one room house. And in his suite, he made a mechitza of 10 tefachim for the Sefer Torah. So Amali. So Mazutra protested. He said, Keman, Kirbishua ben Levi, who are you following by allowing the Sefer Torah to be in the room behind the 10 tefach wall? You're following Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? Eimar do Omar of Yeshua ben Levi de les levei sachrim. Even a mechitz of 10 tefachim is sufficient only if you have no other place to put it. But mar ho is levei sachrim. But you do have other places to keep it. If you have somewhere else to keep a Sefer Torah, then even a 10 tefach mechitza won't do. Amalei, so he conceded. He said, Lavadatoy, you're right, I didn't think of it. And it should indeed be somewhere else. So that's Takana Halacha. All the double casings that we're talking about, etc., that's fine for everything outside of Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah itself should be completely out of the room. And if there's nowhere else to put it, it's like we said, a one room apartment, you keep it behind a 10 tefach wall, a double casing won't do. Okay. Okay, that's that. We begin the next sugya.
So, as I understand, I thought a 10 tefach wall is considered a different room.
I was bothered by this also. I don't know the answer to that question. I was bothered by this also. What is the difference between a different room and a 10 tefach wall? A 10 tefach wall, for all halachic purposes, is considered a completely separate domain. I don't know. I was bothered by that too. Okay. Kama yarchik. Maybe I hear it. That's a svara. Rav Shlomo is suggesting that maybe the difference is if you just have a throw down, what do you say, a temporary thing that you're setting down as a ten tefach wall. Maybe it's not the same as a set wall. I hear. Then the Gemara says. Now we refer back to the Mishnah. How far do you have to distance yourself from urine or from feces in order to recite Divrei Kedusha? You have to be 4 amos away. So we're just beginning the sugi really. Omar Rove, Omar Abschoiro, Omar Avuna. Loishono Elala Achoiro. That's only if the filth is behind you. Avalefonov, but if it's in front of you, it doesn't help to back up 4 amos. Meloi Einov. It has to be out of view. Meaning as far ahead as you can see it, it's a problem. V'chein l'tfila. And the same applies for tfila as well. You can't daven as long as the filth is within view. Okay. After this, we're going to be really getting into a sugya. This is really the continuation here is the sugya that we mentioned the other day of bathrooms, which is very much going to connect to the contemporary bathrooms, so we'll stop here. Sunday we won't learn, comes out a little bit too tight to the end of the fast, and usually make different times, doesn't work well for many people. Sunday we won't learn, we'll resume Be'ezos Hashem on Tuesday. Be'ezos Hashem. What's that?
Monday is not.
Monday will be the regular Monday night shiur. No Gemara shiur. Yeah. Okay, wish the oilam a ksiva v'chasim etoiva, where we merit a year of continuing to grow together, Be'ezos Hashem. Okay. In all areas. Thank you.